Thank you, everyone, for listening. What's that?
I said, you promise we're recording? Sorry.
I was recording. It just, my batteries died. We're recording. And we are recording both ends officially. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Thank You for Being a Podcast. We are the Golden Girls Podcast, the podcast in which you watch an episode of the Golden Girls. Then we break it down scene by scene. I'm Anthony DeSamito.
I'm Genevieve Rice.
And I'm Steve Maxwell.
And together we are the Golden Girls Trio Extraordinaire. We're just going to do this verbatim. This is our second shot at this.
I can't remember. Is this right? Ugh. Is that, I forget.
We're just Groundhog Day. So, Steve, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me
on this lovely, lovely November evening. Evening now, I guess. early evening. Welcome back. It's been a couple years. So we're so happy to have you back. Has anything changed in your life? Any big shifts in your world?
Let's see, big shifts. No, just a little older, just like the Golden Girls.
nothing changes. Nothing.
Still wearing pastel pantsuits and the shoulder pads. Everything's pretty much the same for me.
He came in with some very bold statement jewelry.
In fact, really, in the grand scheme of things, nothing's really changed much for me since this originally aired. So,
and this is, I believe, your second episode you watch of The Golden Girls before the only other episode was with us.
I only watch it when I'm going to be on a podcast about it.
That's a good reason.
So eventually, if enough people do these podcasts, eventually I will see all of them. But
we should just have you on like every week, just so you have to
just out of spite, Steve.
Just to make me watch it. You're not even recording. Let's just make Maxwell watch the Golden Girls. Yeah, I think like I said last time, I ignored it the first time it came through because it didn't really speak to me in my 30s. But now that I'm in my 50s, I'm like, hey, they're not half bad. I might hit that.
Yeah.
You got a favorite one?
Oh, geez. Probably Rue McClanahan.
Good old Blanche. Yeah,
she's holding up okay. I don't know how old she was when she was doing this, though.
She would have. We just looked this up. She would have been in mid 50s.
Oh God, that's. I'm almost in my mid 50s.
Like 56.
That's. Oh God. Oh man. Well, hey, Anthony, you would be involved in an all male spinoff, Golden Boys. Has anybody done that? It could be me and.
I feel like Golden Boys would be like Hitler. Like KKK.
Golden Boys is just like the racist.
Golden Boys, I think, is like, yeah.
Four white men living together in Florida.
In Trump's America.
That would be kind of fun. Saddam Hussein. So, we watched an amazing episode. It was okay. I thought it was okay. I wasn't like, this is the best, but it was season 5, episode 14, and it's titled Great Expectations, and I thought it was going to be great, and it was okay, you know, no Dickinson references.
Yeah, I wanted more Dickens.
Yeah, always want more Dickens in my TV.
I said Dickinson, but Dickens, that's correct.
Dickinson. Dickinsonian.
I'm like, Emily Dickinson. I want Emily Dickinson.
Actually, Emily Dickinson would have fit right in.
Oh, yeah, totally.
She could have been in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Feminism. Visiting cousin.
Yeah.
So the originator date is January 13th, 1990. This is our second 90s episode.
Yep.
I guess the last one was the first 90s episode, which I totally forgot. But yay 90s.
Could you feel a big difference when that decade clicked, when that rolled over? Did you just feel the totally different vibe? How, you know,
Yes,
cocaine.
I did.
Kind of
I
way
felt
out. Pastel still there.
But,
shoulder
but
pads
more neon,
kind of hanging in there.
More neon.
More
neon. More tracksuits. Already.
Yeah, like and I felt the presence of more female R&B rap groups.
Yep.
Already.
And the rise of Southwestern art.
Oh, that is very true.
Oh yeah. also, it was.
I think this battery
is going to
die.
More liberal, you know, a little more freewheeling time in the '90s when they basically opened the show with a lube joke. What is it? It's a
KY Jelly.
Yeah, KY Jelly reference.
Yeah, yippee-i-yo, KY,
and they were like, "I think it's CPIOKA," and she's like, "Whatever."
I was like,
"My vagina's dry."
I was like,
"Sorry."
A gay guy wrote. Right. I think her vagina was dripping wet with KY jelly when she walked in that cowboy outfit.
That's probably it.
Cowgirl outfit.
She came in a cowgirl outfit and an empty holster saying, "Has anybody seen my silver plated six shooter?" And I was like, "She's got a gun? She's got a gun? She's in Florida? This is not good.
She's going to go bring a gun to this barbecue?"
Yeah, she's going to bring a gun to a barbecue, but then she says
a Jewish barbecue.
Yeah, well, they were Jewish, but she says it was going to be Texas style, and I was like, oh, okay, well, that explains it then. Of course, everybody would be packing heat if it's in Texas. So
it really is.
Well, I think
guns.
She could use that. She could use the pickup line like, "Hey, I have nothing in my holster. Do you want to fill it for me?"
Yeah.
By that, I mean your penis.
With your penis,
your circumcised Jewish penis.
I think she would have gotten there, but she didn't get a chance.
They were gonna do Fiddler on the Roof, but two stepping, I think, which I thought would have been amazing.
Oh yeah, that's right, Dorothy's reference there,
which is pretty good.
Yeah, and I would say also, just a pet peeve about sitcoms in general, she did the classic unrealistically timed phone call, right, when it turns out he pulled his back out. So the phone rings, she picks it up, she says, "Hello," there's a beat, and she says, "You pulled your back putting on your cowboy boots." In an amount of time, there's no possible way he was able to communicate that information.
Maybe he's like...
between her saying hello and then going, "Oh my goodness, you did that?"
Maybe he's like Lassie. He was like a dog. He just barked and like told a bunch of information.
Okay, that's all right. Oh, well, thanks for clearing that up for me, Anthony, because I was going to lose some sleep over that. Also, she did the classic, and then hung up the phone, which people generally say goodbye, but not on TV. They go, "Oh."
Right.
"Hello? I see." Click. They hang up. You're like, "Well, that's kind of rude. You just hang up on that guy?"
So then right after that, she's kind of like, okay, he got hurt, fuck this guy. And so Dorothy convinces her to go back with Steve, the other guy. So right here, she makes like a change. She's just like, "Oh, he got hurt. I can't deal with old dudes. I'm going to get back with Steven." You know, so that was kind of weird, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, it's like, also like, her, this guy that she's dating and cared enough to buy a whole cowgirl outfit. Basically.
And that looked like an expensive cowgirl outfit. That was at least a $700 stack of leather and fringe.
It was bedazzled, and it was, I don't know, as far as cowboy outfits go, I want to say nice. Like, I don't know. Oh, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. I was just, my roommate was asking.
Oh, okay.
Need something. So, yeah. Okay. I can kind of hear. It's a little staticky, but I can kind of hear. So then, Rose comes in and she's super happy. She's in this new state of emotions. She's basically like, "Everybody, calm down to my group, and so you guys can be happy like me."
Yeah, I know. She basically wants him to go down to this group, which basically it's like a positivity group. And I found it very odd that it, first of all, I was in a hotel conference room, and it, I think they even billed it as a course at one point, but I didn't see any money changing hands. I felt like it was like more of like a support group, but it was run.
It felt like maybe people had people close to them die or anger management. It was just kind of like not really clear as to how these people ended up there, you know?
Yeah, it seemed to me like it was like a self-help seminar that, like you said, somebody would traditionally pay for.
Yeah, and just the fact that, like, Dorothy and Sophia and Blanche could just, like, show up, like, and leave. And no money, and a very judgmental instructor.
Yeah, no yeah. One would expect a religious pitch at the end, like, join our crazy cult and then sign over your possession. So I could see him maybe giving it away up front like that. But it was classic, I guess, positive thinking stuff, which, you know.
It was very, like, it felt like this was the Stanley Kubrick portion of the episode. It was very, like.
Well, it seemed
like they were smiling so big.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody was smiling huge. But it seemed like kind of just a take on, like what you'd see now, people getting together, you know, for a law of attraction seminar, you know, or, you know, maybe a few years ago doing that. I think maybe they call it something else now. But I think it's, I think that's something that runs throughout, like, people think, you know, like Dorothy in the show, she's like, oh, this is just positive thinking. That's just for gullible people who believe in magic, which is true, and funny that she pointed that out. But then she's like, this is just a fad. It's just a fad, but it obviously isn't. It's still ongoing. And in fact, my grandmother back in the 20s was a huge follower of Norman Vincent Peale, who I think originated the whole positive thinking movement. And she had a little book of daily affirmations. And hey, she had, you know, a decent amount of money and lived to be 95. But I don't think it had so much to do with the positive thinking as to her real estate acumen and clean living, you know.
It felt like a pyramid scheme. It felt very like Clockwork Orangey, like brainwashing. Because then when she started talking, she was like, her speech started with, everyone is beautiful on the inside. And I'm like, oh my gosh, she's just gonna quote like Target like decorations. And it's, I'm like, what? And then it was so weird that when they walked in, like, you could hear people talking, but nobody was talking. Everyone was just smiling. I was like, were they just playing audio of people talking? Like,
yeah, I was so confused. The sound effect. It's,
yeah, crap.
I think that was on one of my old Halloween records. It's not really a scary one, but. You know that thing.
Crowd murmur, that old classic Halloween chestnut. I think a room full of people that are just smiling and staring at the front, I think, is probably pretty creepy. Like, that's.
And then Blanche is like trying to hook up with a guy there, and
I thought they were gonna go and meet guys there.
Yeah, but it almost felt like Blanche was excited about her guy, her new guy, and she was taking. It felt like she also was in the program, but she wasn't. And then Dorothy was inspired by Blanche, like Blanche, you know. Blanche has a new guy and she's took a positive step and I need to do that too. But Blanche wasn't in the program. It was like kind of weird for her to be inspired by somebody who isn't even a fucking in that shit. You know, it should have been, if the writers knew what they were doing, it should have been Rose. Just saying.
Yeah. No, I agree.
But I did enjoy how much the positive thinking guru snapped out at Dorothy when she, you know, expressed her, you know, skepticism pretty mildly. She's like, "Yeah, this isn't really for me." And the lady just leaped on her. She's like, "Oh, so you're one of those cynical people who pops a child's balloon just to teach them that bad things happen in the world and that prefer to sit on the sidelines and criticize instead of talking about how things could be better." So I thought that was pretty funny how quickly she snapped into negativity herself, which is very, I don't know, it seems very accurate with sort of the positive thinking crowd, that they're really the most positive people in the world, the ones who are like, "I'm just all about positivity and I don't want any negativity around me," are really, they turn out to be the shittiest people.
I know, and the whole crowd was like smiling while she was saying this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it was
creepy. It was Botox creepy. It was Cheshire Cat weird. It was like the upside down of Stranger Things, but of like of what's of today. Like, everyone's upset, you know, flip it. And it was weird how Dorothy and Sophia were just very openly like, "Yeah, this isn't for us. This is like weird. You guys are weird. You guys are, you know," very like, "All right, you know, you kind of have to chill the fuck out too, you know, like, I get it, it's not your cult, but they could kill you. They could, I don't know."
Well, I guess we found
they're
our,
gonna smile you to
death. I guess we found our human sacrifice for the closing ceremony.
Yeah, we didn't see the end of this meeting. I don't know what's going to happen. something had to pull them in. Something had to unite them as a smiling group of fools, you know?
It was like the witches. They just like took off their skin and like Dorothy became the high priestess and all that. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, that's
movie,
right.
The witches?
Yeah, that also happened in a hotel conference room. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Hotel conference room. That's where that shit happens.
Yep.
Did you watch The Witches, Steve?
No. No, I did not.
No? Such a good Roald Dahl book.
Yeah.
Also a good Roald Dahl book that you need to read, Genevieve.
I know. You know what I enjoyed was the sight of Bea Arthur trying to sneak out of a room.
I know. She could not sneak out of a room. Unnoticed.
I'm sorry.
The world's tallest
she
woman.
She needs to crawl.
The world's tallest woman and you're wearing LA
she needs
Rand
to crawl
pads.
Out of a room.
Yeah, if she wanted to leave that room, Bea Arthur, she would just leave that room. She would just go right through them.
Sophia just wanted snacks, but I don't even know if they had snacks. I don't think they did. Dicks, positive, but no snacks.
I know, right? No, that's another thing, too. Yeah, you gotta have good snacks if you're gonna have a positive thinking seminar.
Well, they don't want, like, food in their teeth because they're gonna be smiling big. They, you know, they...
It's true.
They have a reason.
No spinach dip at that one.
Yeah. Yeah, no... There's a strict no spinach dip rule. Okay, so then the next scene there, it's like negative thinking scene where Dorothy's like, "I kind of just snapped when the faucet was leaking. And when I was just like, this world sucks. My, you know, like this leaky faucet led her into this spiraling depression."
Well, she also wrote down, she said she started writing down like all of her negative thoughts, and she's like, "Well, I was on page 168
yeah, she had just started the night before and she'd done 168 pages.
Yeah, I was like, maybe you need psychiatric help. You don't need the script.
Actually though, I really want to read her notebook of negative thoughts. Like, that's way more interesting to me.
But I think maybe it was just her diary, and maybe she was at page 180 where she was starting, you know, because she started a new book. Like, that's a lot. That's a lot of writing. Maybe she was doing free writing. You can kill
know,
a lot
it
of
paper.
It
seemed to have all been done in an evening. You know, I don't think there was a big time leap between the seminar and her, you know, waking up the next day. So.
Yeah.
So a little unreality crept in terms of the page numbers. They probably could have gone for page 12 and it would have been funny too.
No, I.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. That's kind of that's an impressive amount of negative thoughts, honestly. I wonder if it's also just kind of meta where she's just like, now I'm up all night because I'm writing all my negative thoughts down in this fucking notebook.
Yeah, really. That generating right. that much negativity in that short amount of time, that really just seems like that would be her forte then.
Yes, and exactly.
And she should just play to that.
Yeah.
Right? If she sat down to write positive things, she might have gotten a page. But she did 168
maybe
pages.
Maybe she wrote Great Expectations and she had no idea.
168 pages of negativity in an evening. That's like Ann Coulter's latest book. That's how she writes it.
She wrote the next Great Expectations.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, she's like, well, this prisoner tried to trick me into getting him some fiddles, and my Aunt Biddy's a bitch, and or I think it was Biddy. Was it Biddy that was a bitch? Or
And then he raped me. I think that was a callback to the first recording.
Okay, yeah.
That so is lost.
You know what? I have a quick question.
Yeah,
this
is lost.
Probably a little off topic, but okay. So you've got four middle-aged women living together, no pets, not
no,
a single cat.
I
know middle-aged women. And there is not a middle-aged woman who is single who doesn't have a dog, right? Or at least a couple of cats. But that's
they are weird about animals on the show. They've had a few opportunities where they've had lost dogs and chickens.
More like
and I don't know why.
It looks like
you're right though. Like I'm surprised there isn't a foray with a cat or a dog more often.
Yeah, well I guess
I think Steve. Oh. I think, Steve, you have some great expectations.
Great expectations. Ouch.
I apologize. Okay. I apologize for that.
But I guess, you know what? On the TV sitcom, anytime there's a pet, that pet is invariably expected to be some sort of performing animal. You know, you never see somebody just walk in and go, psst, to a cat that's on the couch and the cat runs off, and then they just sit down and don't comment on it. The cat's always got to do some sort of special thing, but it's a weirdly
I think they consider Rose to be their pet.
She like the big dumb goofy dog or something, or do they actually make her sleep in a bed on the floor?
She does eat a lot of salmon, like a cat.
They like walk her. They make her pee outside.
Yeah, so do they each have their own separate bedroom? Have you ever seen a layout of the house?
I think they do. They each have their separate bedroom, and they don't have a guest bedroom. But they have guests a lot.
Yeah, so...
They have guests a lot, and it becomes an issue.
Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me.
Somebody has to share a bed.
The episode I watched, they had a guest. So where did that guest say...
They usually double up on beds sometimes. Like Dorothy and Sophia will sleep in a bed, or the guest will sleep with one of the ladies.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm against, you know, sleeping with your child past the age of 55. I think at that point they're probably a big boy or girl. They're probably
54 and under is fine.
54 and under is fine. You get that old, it's like, that's a little old for this. I don't know. And no bickering. Do they each have their own bathroom?
No.
Some bickering at all?
Oh,
you
I
have
imagine.
Blanche
historical
does.
Perspective.
Blanche has her own bathroom.
Yeah. Blanche has her own.
And I think everyone else shares the bathroom outside in the hallway.
Yeah.
It's literally, this year, a latrine.
Yeah. Okay, so... The next scene is Dorothy getting some deli meat and being really excited about it. And
way too excited.
Sort of like, so like, my deli meat was big.
Right, she said, her positive thinking was finally working out. And normally she gets,
because
a little dried end.
She said magic. Remember, she said magic. That's the magic they're talking about.
Yeah, see.
Positive thinking makes you magical. This is the witches. This is
absolutely
the power.
The witches. Okay.
Yeah.
I have to watch that one.
Right.
Here's the thing. And then Jerry pointed out, it's like, that is a tiny, she breaks out the roast beef to show what lovely cuts she had gotten from this butcher who normally does a bad job. And it is a trace amount of beef.
It's like one, like, It's like one serving of roast beef. And like, it's not worth going to the store to have a butcher involved.
Right, it's... and it's wrapped in some sort of giant pink cocaine bindle. Like somebody had folded a giant piece of pink, heavy stock paper, glossy, right? So stuff doesn't stick to it, into a bindle, and then inserted the roast beef into it. But, of course, it is Florida.
It is Miami. It is Miami, and it's Hollywood. So someone on set like had their cocaine bundle. Like, you can use it for your just put roast beef.
She
like...
can't just carry the roast beef out in a bare hand. We got to put it in the... Oh, thanks, Snuffy. We'll put it in that.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Also, I don't think I hate to pick nits, but also I don't think I saw her put that back in the fridge. So it's probably no good now. Don't eat it.
Yeah, she just left it on the counter.
Actually, I think I saw three different things come out of the fridge and not go back into the fridge. Apparently,
I think he just threw like
people. They have some Cuban boy who comes through and puts all that stuff away and cuts their beautiful lawn. Do they ever garden? Do you ever see them come in overalls with a little shovel or something? Because they have that
They have
front
a gardener.
Yard.
They had a gardener
they do.
That Sophia.
They have an Asian gardener.
Yeah, try to sleep with.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think she did. I think she successfully fucked that gardener.
Yeah.
Sophia, she's the old one, right?
Yeah, she's Dorothy's mom. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. And she's slept with an Asian gardener.
Yeah, so, had sushi for the first time?
Oh, so Japanese.
Yeah.
See, she would have, she would have been in the thick of the WW2, or I think we might have had a little trouble with the Japanese at some point. So she managed to move past that. That's good, because my dad never did. He never did move past that.
Well, she's Sicilian. They were allied powers.
Oh, I guess that's right. That's true. Yeah. So they could reminisce about how things might have gone differently. Second-guessing
what part are you
choices.
Talking about?
Well, now we
got lost in the static.
Oh, we were talking
What part are you talking about?
The Estelle Getty character, what is it? Sophia slept with her Asian gardener in a past episode. And
So
it turns out they were both, she was Sicilian.
I thought you were talking about her fucking Pablo Picasso.
Oh, no, that happened.
Because you were talking about
taking
we'll
it back.
Talk,
yeah.
Sorry, I get my headphones, I think, are shitty today.
But that's a good segue into her fucking Pablo Picasso.
Right, because I was like, wait, they're both Italian, so that should make sense that they have access to each other. But what I didn't get was Pablo Picasso in 1912 was 30 years old, and Sophia would have been 7.
Yes.
Because she was born. So I'm like, was Pablo Picasso like painting a little girl? Putting
showing her how his palate is held up without his hands.
Yeah,
how he can
without his hands.
He put his dick through his palate and showed her how he can hold his fucking oily paint shit.
Hey, it worked. She banged him.
Palate.
She comes right out and says she banged him. She banged Pablo Picasso when she was 7 years old. But you know what? That was a different time, Anthony.
Yeah.
He was her benefactor. that was the part we lost in the last one, huh?
He benefucked her. Oh, no. So that kind of threw me off. Okay, then Blanche finds out that Steven, who at this point they met, and he's a avid tennis player, quote unquote, and he had a heart attack, and he's in the hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Blanche can't handle that. Blanche can't handle that shit.
Yeah.
At all.
But it's the same thing with the call where it's just like, oh, you had a heart attack? And,
oh, yeah, it was the hospital. She, like, hung up, and she's like, it was the hospital. He's had a heart attack. And we thought, you give the hospital a list of people you're dating, and they're going to call through that list and let everyone know.
Like, the hospital's like, who are you fucking?
Have you had sex with anyone in the last 6 weeks? What's that have to do with my heart attack? Well, we want to call and make sure that they know.
Yeah, like, why the fuck is he calling, like, yeah, that's so fucking weird that she would get a ring. And so then she decides not to visit him because that just...
It's too much commitment.
She can't... It's too much commitment. She can't... I'm like, you're fucking the worst person ever. There's this dude that has a disc displaced or whatever happened, that Jewish guy that got hurt.
She just threw
him away.
Yeah.
Yeah. She just threw him away. And then this guy has a heart attack and she doesn't even fucking visit him. Like, and then she just, her excuse is that she doesn't want to commit. I'm like, how is visiting somebody in the hospital commitment? Oh, now we're married. I visited you in the hospital.
Well, now
we're together forever.
See you in the hospital, Anthony.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you bring someone a sympathy card in a hospital, you're legally married.
Yeah.
You know, it's too much of a commitment to care whether you live or die. So I'm going to have to pull back a little here.
He's so clingy onto me.
I need
to
check out for a moment. I just want to let you know that I'm kind of looking for something serious. Somebody that would visit me in the hospital. Somebody that wants children. Visit me in the hospital. I want to get married. Visit me in the hospital. Like, I don't understand. Okay.
Girl, I'm going to be so sick in the next couple of years.
And then Rose has a story about licking shit.
Yeah, that, like, was a little weird too. A story that involves actually drinking raw sewage and then dying.
Yeah.
Apropos of nothing. But I think that's how her stories are kind of worked in there. Apropos of nothing.
But, like, I don't understand, like, how somebody who is an explorer and probably, I'm assuming, like, the Magellan kind of era, like, indoor plumbing wasn't around then, you know, or, like, just plumbing in general. Was it, like, an outhouse that leaked? I don't understand.
No, I thought it was, like, around, it was, like, later, because Duluth was around. So it would have been like
Duluth
1800s.
Was so, yeah. Where's she from? St. Olaf?
St. Olaf in Minnesota.
St. Olaf in Minnesota.
So he got to Duluth, Minnesota, and he was supposed to go right to head to Florida to find the Fountain of Intelligence. And then he went left instead and then found St. Olaf. And there was a broken sewer pipe. And he thought that was the Fountain of Intelligence, and he drank from it and died of cholera.
He's like, delicious shit. Oh, I'm so smart. Delicious shit.
What if it made him smarter? Like, what if it really...
If shit made you smarter? Maybe. Well, if people eating shit makes them smarter, then... Everybody watching Fox News must be a genius.
Oh,
wabam. Wabam. Blanche visits the dude in the hospital. And it's so weird that, like, this whole situation with this woman happened. Like, this woman
that she instantly destroyed a marriage walking in there.
Yeah, it's a private room, and, like, both the patients are behind curtains. And
Blanche destroys marriages everywhere she goes. She goes into a grocery store, destroys a marriage. She goes to the post office, destroys a marriage. It's just... She can't destroy marriage.
I think in Blanche's defense in this situation, like, she sees this woman crying and she goes, she asks, oh, is he okay? And she's like, oh, yeah, he'll be fine. She's like, are you his wife? Or are you a relative?
Are you family?
And she's like, yeah, I'm his wife. Yeah. And Blanche just automatically assumes, she's like, what? He told me his wife was dead. And this wife goes from, like, 0 to 60.
Oh yeah, she goes from bereaved to we're gonna get divorced, you pig. Like,
yeah, the dissatisfaction was there. Yeah. Like,
so she leans into the curtain and she's like, "You cad, you worm, we're through. You'll be hearing from my lawyer." That, and then goes stomping out. And then
I think
Blanche looks in there and goes, "Oh, you're not Steven."
Yeah, that guy says nothing.
Yeah. Meanwhile, this guy says absolutely nothing because I think there wasn't even anybody in there.
Well, like, that guy had a heart transplant. Does that keep you from talking?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That comes out later that you got a heart transplant.
So did they sew your mouth shut when you get a new heart? Like, I don't get it.
It was an old custom back in the 80s. Yeah.
So the new heart doesn't escape out your mouth.
It's back in the 90s.
We call that the new heart spooks.
We can't let your vocal cords go all awry with your new heart. Okay. And so she realizes, but then at the end she ended up with that guy. Like, which is just weird. And then she sees, then she sees Steven, you know, opens the curtain, and then she, like, leans on him, and he starts to, like, die. Like his his heart monitor starts to beep.
Well, she's...
And he... Was he...
She's leaning on him, up? And she's telling about, like, a, like, basically some, like, beach sex act that she did. It was like,
yeah, basically, remember when I did this to you at the beach? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what kind of it got his heart going.
So he, if you get a heart attack, you can't get a boner or else you die.
Well, I mean, it's something to do with like blood flow. I mean, you can, but you have to be careful.
Yeah, it probably got his heart rate up to the unhealthy range.
Yeah,
I think you wouldn't pass out, though.
One would think. But then, of course, the nurse comes in. She's like, "Are you okay?" He's like, "Yeah, I'm fine." She's like, "Okay."
She just leaves.
I'm going to make my rounds, do my evaluations on everybody's vitals.
This guy
vitals.
Almost died.
How you feeling? You doing okay? All right. You good?
Well,
okay.
She's like, "Hey, no boners!" And then leaves. Like, she has to just go around the whole hospital and be like, "Hey, cut that boner out." You know, just that's just her shift. She's on heart attack boner shift. She's tired. She's tired. She's been on 12 hours walking around yelling at heart attack boner dudes. It's not easy. It's not easy.
She's like,
I'm on her side.
She's like, "Guys, I've got a code blue balls." I'm so sorry.
Yes, code blue balls. No. Oh man.
Right.
Okay.
He says. And she's like, "Oh, I really do want to be with you." And he's like, "I got together with my old girlfriend again." Like, want that happens.
Because she came to the hospital.
Yeah. She
came
to the hospital because
Blanche
she was. Because the hospital said, "Who you fucking?" And he said, "Well, I'm fucking her now, but I was fucking her." Well, we'll call them both just in case, you know, the first one was the right
It'll
one for you.
It'll be a test
you.
Of your relationship yeah. with both ladies.
I'm going to run some tests on your
but
physical relationships.
Can we talk about how a woman was crying in that room? And that guy was just like laying there quietly listening to this woman sob. That is creepy. That to me is a little weird. You know?
He's like, "I'm going to a heart transplant right now. Like, I kind of don't need this."
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, that's probably, you know what? That's a good point. I didn't even think about it. But I've had loved ones in the hospital, and probably the thing not to do, especially if, he's going to be okay, it's just hard to see him like this, probably not sitting at the bedside sobbing uncontrollably, especially when he's probably going to be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That lady needs to go to that.
He got a heart transplant.
That's what she needs.
Yeah, that woman was just, I think she just wanted to be done with the marriage, and she just needed an excuse.
Absolutely. Blanche just
she's just like,
yeah.
"Fuck this
she
drama."
Trying, she was trying to kill him with the crying, but then this convenient woman comes in and says she's sleeping with your husband. So, yeah.
She sewed that dude's mouth shut. She's a fucking one that... Yeah, she should go to that group meet. Yeah, she should go to Positives Anonymous.
Yeah, so I think the theme kind of gets woven throughout, doesn't it? So good job, writers.
Yeah, good job, writers. And then when Blanche gets dumped, I'm like, go visit the Jewish cowboy. Just, you know, don't.
Y'all, he did just go back to the back other. Out. I mean, that's not much of a commitment to go see him. He threw his back out, putting on his cowboy boots, and that is something that could easily happen to me.
I think there's that could happen to all of us. Like, there.
Yeah, you're right. We are not the fittest of podcasts. We're not.
Right.
We're going to go play softball against some other podcasts this weekend. Probably not going to happen.
And okay, so then back at the house, it sort of gets resolved really quickly that group is crazy. Dorothy's like, I don't need that group. I don't want to do that group. And I don't know. She's like, it's just, I don't feel comfortable with them. They're nuts. The moral of the story is that groups are nuts. And so then Rose agrees with her. She's like, you know what? You're right. I don't need the group either. All right. That's over.
She's like, well, I guess I'm out $5,000, but that's fine.
There goes $5,000. And then, Blanche comes in and she's like, well, I ruined this guy's marriage. I'm not with fucking Steven. He got back with his girlfriend, his wife, his ex-wife or whatever. And because she was there, you know, she didn't like give him a boner and almost died. So he's stuck with her. And then she's going to be with the other guy. The monkey heart guy. Not the monkey heart, but the 25-year-old.
Yeah, with the heart of a 25-year-old.
Could have been a 25-year-old monkey.
Provided it doesn't get rejected.
Yeah, 25-year-old monkey. Yeah, that's true. Don't discriminate. But, yeah, so she's just like, yeah, I ruined the marriage. Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, and it seemed like her big conflict was over being able to commit to somebody after the death of her husband, George, at some unspecified time in the past. I've been left once and I don't ever want to be left again, or something along those lines.
But
she hasn't really grown at the end. She's like, oh well, so much to Steven, now I'm onto this guy who's, you know, marriage I ruined.
She didn't grow because her one problem was all the dudes keep on getting hurt because they're too old. Second problem was she has a fear of commitment. So now she's back to dating a dude that's old and fucking basically she's a rebound again. Because Steven, she was a rebound for Steven. She was like, he was still in love with his wife and I couldn't be a rebound. Guess what? You're a rebound again. Ugh.
She should go to some kind of meeting. You should run a meeting for her.
Well,
you guys are all beautiful on the inside.
Well, I have to say, though, I mean, okay, she did grow a little bit, though, because she was afraid to go to the hospital. And, like, now she's probably got to go to the hospital, like, a ton for this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, she can't get him a bump.
Visiting a pre-existing person in your life in the hospital is too much of a commitment, but if you go down there you can find some guys who probably aren't going to last that long anyways. You don't really have to give them a name get to know them.
Yeah,
she needs to start seeing guys when they're already in the hospital so she faces her fear right from the start.
Yeah, she's got to use positive thinking and she's got to be like, okay, you're already in bed, there are nurses around.
Do you think that she fucked that guy while Steven was next to her?
Yeah, I wonder. I wonder how awkward that is. Like,
well, we did not see her entirely leave the room. She kind of walks around, disappears over by that curtain of that other bed. So probably, she probably went in there,
but. But what if that guy can't even talk and she just thinks that they're together? She's just like, oh, I'm so happy that we're together. And he's like, and like, he doesn't even, she's like licking his butthole and shit. And like, he doesn't even, he's not even conscious. Like, he could not even know what's happening.
That's a disturbing, that's a pretty disturbing thought. I mean, I'd say it's not entirely out of character for her. I mean, the way she's written, that seems possible.
Yeah. No, well, maybe she's gone to that point of mania that she's just licking unconscious dude's buttholes in the hospital.
But don't slut shame
next
her.
To her ex. Yeah, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
That nurse comes in, she's like, no butthole licking, and then leaves.
Beep, beep, beep. That's a telltale sound of a heartbeat during butt licking. Are you okay? I'm fine. All right, then.
Not again.
Yeah, the machine does have a butthole licking individual beep. So I think we did it, guys. Yay.
We did it. All right.
So this, thank you so much, Steven, first of all, for being on our show again.
Oh, thanks for having me. It was fun.
And this comes out on November 30th. Yeah. Is there something you'd like to promote that you are involved in, and where can people find out information on your whereabouts? So go ahead.
You can find out information about my whereabouts. Probably find me on Facebook, I guess, is probably the best way. And what else is going on? Oh, I just started a monthly show at the Coronado Restaurant on 7th Street near downtown Phoenix. It's on the patio at a vegan restaurant. It's every second Wednesday, so I expect to see everyone out there for that. And I'll be playing some of the local bar rooms. And that's about all I got going on right now.
Well, that sounds fantastic. So go to the Coronado, everybody, on every other Wednesday of the month.
Second Wednesday of every month.
See? Second Wednesday of every month.
They've got booze and they've got coffee and stuff like that. They got something for everybody.
Yeah, I like, Leslie Barton pointed this out, that it's really nice to have a gig that has both booze and coffee, because usually it's like it's at a coffee house, you can get a coffee, but they have no booze, or you can get some booze, but if you ask for a cup of coffee to kind of wake up a little bit,
you can get
a monster.
Yeah, a Kahlua.
Like, oh, what? Coffee? Wow, we might have a coffee Irish maker coffee. Somewhere. Yeah.
Kahlua Bailey's in your coffee. Get an Irish coffee.
Yeah, you
could. You know, some Jameson. And Genevieve, where will you be after November 30th, and where can people find your whereabouts?
All right. Well, I'm going to New York very soon, so I'm going to be in New York December 4th through 7th. So December 5th, I've got a show called The Birthday Show, I am blanking on where it is. It's in New York City somewhere, and sounds very gracious.
At the Trump Plaza.
Yeah, it's at the Trump. Yeah, so you're breathing really hard in the microphone.
Yay.
And then I'm going to Bird City Comedy Festival is still accepting submissions. I can't. This is distracting me way too much.
What's happening?
I just hear like lots of breathing in the microphone.
Is it me?
I think it is.
I think it stopped. Yeah.
It stopped.
Is it me?
Okay. I'll start over. For a second.
Sorry.
Blanche.
Like, what's going
Stop
on with
giving
me
a boner.
2 hours of moaning. Bird City Comedy Festival, a comedy festival I produce, is accepting submissions. And we just found out one of our headliners is going to be Greg Barrett.
Ooh, excellent.
So, very excited about that.
He's just not that into you. Yeah. That's what he wrote.
So we're very excited about that.
I wonder. I'm gonna ask him about dating advice. And he's gonna hate me.
I'm probably gonna ask him a ton of questions about Walking the Room because I love that show so much.
See, I've kind of worked around it by just assuming no one's that into me. So I never have that surprise. Like, I never have to be told, hey, they're really not that into you. It's like, yeah, I know.
That is kind of, that's kind of what he's trying to tell you is like, yeah. No, some people aren't into it. It's okay. Like, it's fine.
You can still rape him in their hospital bed.
Yeah. For me, I'm at Anthony DeCimito on Twitter. And you can find me at You Up at the Silver Lake Lounge December 1st at midnight. It's a fun show. It's called You Up because... it's so late. It's at midnight. And December 13th, I'll be in the belly room of the Comedy Store for Roast Battle at 10:30. I'll be roasting Steve Lee from San Francisco. Should be fun. Come on out. And along with our own individual everythings, the podcast has a Twitter and is at Thank You For Being a Podcast, but as an acronym, at TYF. BAP at TiffBap, also at TiffBap on Instagram. Music is by Brian Korkernak and Mike Dennison. You can listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or any other platform you use to listen to us today. Hop on onto iTunes, give us a positive review. 5 stars would be preferred. And tell us, ask us questions. Tell us why you love us. Tell us what you want to hear. I don't know. Just say something. Tell us about your day. That'd be nice. That'd be fantastic. The next episode is season 5, episode 15, and I forget the title, so we can just make one up.
Heart Spooks.
What is it?
The Case of the Heart Spooks.
The Heart Spooks.
The Heart Spook. Okay.
I hope maybe
the case of the heart spook.
Maybe it'll be more Dickens.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Yeah, it's just a Christmas Carol.
It's gonna be a Christmas Carol.
The Great Gatsby. all right. You guys, thank you for listening, and thank you, Steve, for being here.
Thank you.
And everybody, have a beautiful day and or night. Yay! And the recording didn't stop. Yay.
Yay.
Gonna stuff a chicken. Gonna stuff a chicken. Like my mama taught me.
Like my mama taught me.
Gonna take the chicken.